Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is LaDonna Evans Duhart, and in this show, we're going to talk about a very popular topic that I get frequently in many of the courses that I teach. The one that I wanted to look at specifically was the idea of determining if a person is actually at risk. Okay. To learn more about my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please use the question and comment box below. All right, let's go ahead and get started. In many of the courses that I teach, in many cases, I am running into more people who are taking courses, particularly security courses, because they are in a situation where there's been a security threat of some fashion. They are at risk, or they thought they were at risk, and just wanted to know, you know, whether or not they could gain some skills so that they can better determine risk levels and whether or not they're at risk at that particular point in time. There's been many situations where, you know, I'd be in a 3-day or a 5-day class, and as we're leaving, you know, the class, the person will pull you to the side and, you know, say, hey, I've got this situation going on, you know, and they wanted me to throw some ideas back at them to determine if this could, you know, indicate a potential security risk. So as they go back to, you know, as they come back to class the next day, you can tell that everything that was evaluated that previous day, this person was going to work to determine whether or not they were really in that situation, or they're on the phone asking people at work to actually, you know, take a look at this or evaluate this log file, or, you know, do a search or a filter on a log entry and determine if you see this, this, and that. So again, as I found that to be really, really popular, it really concerned me because it lets me know that, you know, some of these folks are at major corporations and they are, you know, representing the security aspect of this organization. And you would really think that the company had a little bit more going on as far as security was concerned in those particular areas. So again, while that seems disappointing, you do have people who are at least trying to come to a course where they can build a knowledge set up and, you know, be able to make better decisions for an organization. So again, determining if you are at risk. For the most part, I think that when someone initially asks you that, and depending on what their area of expertise is, I would almost want to tell a person, yes, you're at risk. If you're not sure, just assume that you are. Okay? And I do that for a few different reasons. One, I do it because that makes that person go back and pay closer attention to different things that may have made them feel like they were at risk. If you're questioning something and you haven't went back to go and look at it or do any level of verification, then that is telling me something about the practices, the security practices in particular, that are going on within the organization, where a person would leave for a few days or leave, you know, or turn their backs away from a particular situation and still have that question in the back of their head, you know, asking, man, are we really at risk, or did we do something wrong, or should we go back and look at this? So I would respect a person if they were even willing to think, okay, let's at least go back and look at this situation. Okay, so there's a few things that I would direct a person to do. Okay, at the point that, one, I had a person that was even willing to go back and go and look back at something. One, tells me something positive about the situation. Okay, or about, at least about the person who's going to go back and deal with the situation. If a person is not sure and they are at a point where they want to just look at the whole big picture and do what they're supposed to do, or have the organization at least go down the right path to do what needs to be done so that they can put, you know, some security controls in place, is a good thing. So when you look at, you know, a question, am I at risk? The best way to really go over and determine if you're at risk is to go ahead and try and implement some level of risk assessments. In one of the modules here in this particular course, there's an area labeled pulling the process together. And then from there, we look at the risk assessment key areas. So what I'm going to do is just kind of go over some of these key areas to offer people insight if you are in that situation, you know, which would help you, one, do the right thing, and two, potentially go through the entire course here. We need to look at all of the assets. Look at the organization's asset at a very, very premature level. Look at all the assets. Determine how many servers do we have? What kind of software are we running? Is the software up to date? Is a question you might also be thinking in the back of your head. When you look at an asset, you're looking at firewall. You're looking at firewalls, workstations, PDAs, cell phones. You're looking at a variety of all the assets that are important to the organization's information technology area. Now make note, a lot of people will say, well, just go to your disaster recovery plan and look at the items there. And that is an excellent item. That disaster recovery plan is going to be a way for you to take the appropriate steps to determine whether or not you can bring this IT infrastructure back to an operational state in the event that something happens. That's an excellent answer. But again, sometimes people don't have these things in place. So we can have these big time IT conversations and you'll understand, yeah, disaster recovery plan is this or that. But what happens when you realize that you don't have one in place? So again, one of the first phases of trying to look at pulling some management documents together, namely a disaster recovery plan or a business continuity plan, we need to look at, let's talk about all of these assets. Let's identify the assets. And then from there, that makes the process of, one, inventorying an easy task because you're looking at every item, okay? You're looking at this task of identifying potentially, you know, one piece of equipment potentially being more expensive than another piece of equipment. But all of that to say that when you move to this next task of prioritizing assets, you can only prioritize those assets once you know what assets exist, okay? So again, while these two phases are very, very easy to do, I mean, as long as you know where all the items are, in some cases with prioritizing the assets, you might want to do it in two different ways. There's a chapter here that talks about prioritizing items, and you can do it either qualitatively or quantitatively. The company may already have something in place where they measure the value of a particular entity. So they have a system or a templated application or something in place where they can place a particular value on a particular asset. Another way is to quantitatively prioritize or set a value to an asset. When I quantitatively do this, I can look at or talk to someone in your financial department to say, hey, what is the price of this server? Or what do you think today's value of this server would be? How much is this software? How much is this firewall? How much is this workstation and this PDA? So again, you want to prioritize these assets. And sometimes we prioritize things based on their value. So again, you can qualitatively do it and quantitatively do it. The next step I would say is to identify and document all known risks and threats. So when you consider the risks. While there are many known risks out there, there are still a lot of risks that are being created on a regular basis. Certain situations may cause a risk. But at the point that you know that it's going to present a threat, we need to identify all of the risks that we know about. Then that way that puts us in a state of mind where we can deal with, you know, what are the potential problems? And when I see this particular problem, I'll know that I'm at risk. What are the problems when I see a message pop up on the screen telling me I'm about to erase your entire hard drive? And then from there, you know how to act in the event that you were not able to salvage that one computer. You have an idea of, okay, this is this particular virus, or this is this particular, you know, malicious piece of software on this machine. And from here, I can, you know, be able to help that next person or that junior administrator identify, wait a minute, we've got a problem. Let's go ahead and start making some decisions on, you know, what we need to do to fix it. So identifying and documenting these. Now, the last thing I know people want to do is document some actions or some threats that are out there. This documentation can be going on forever, and it is intended to be that way. Documentation that is not maintained on a regular basis gets old, and it gets old fast, and this is really, really common. So again, while you know that this is something that is a dreaded task, identify an administrative person who you can just simply send an email to or sit down and have a weekly or a monthly meeting with and say, hey, we need to update this document. We found this, or we identified that. We need to update this documentation. If not, it cannot do anything for you when new things occur. Okay. The next step that I'm recommending is to prioritize these known threats. So if I have a virus, potentially, I'll rate it. Okay. And again, I may have a rating system to say, here are the ratings for software. Here's the ratings for for hardware. So I may have a firewall at the top of the list for the hardware list, and maybe a PDA or a cell phone down at the bottom. Again, come up with some kind of way to prioritize a threat or to prioritize that hardware again. Again, I know people, you know, you don't like going through that process of putting the system in place, but once it's time to pull together how to deal with the situation, once you determine you're at risk, all of those prerequisites that I'm talking about will make your life so much easier. Okay. Now, also in this area, we want to look at prioritizing your your impacts. So let's say that an impact of the power going out for, let's say, a short period of time may be a higher priority than if somebody lost a security access card or some other type of item. So again, I need some kind of way to prioritize the impact. I might have a numerical system set up so that if, let's say, I lost power, or if I lost, if a machine had a virus, or if I had a disgruntled worker do something, I need to look at what are the impacts on those. Make note that the impacts can be rated. I mean, I've seen people do a rating where the impact was low. Then I had a medium impact, and then I had a high impact. And then you may have something in between those. So categorize an impacting system. Then when you go back and you look at the risk, then place that risk up against the impact chart. Maybe it may not have a high impact if it happens on the workstation. Maybe it will have a high impact if it occurred on the PDA. So again, me having a way to prioritize the threats and the impact, and then I match those against what happens when a server has this type of impact. What happens when the software, is going to do X, Y, and Z and have an impact. What happens when the firewall, which is prioritized in a particular method as far as hardware is concerned, runs into a particular threat, how do I identify that impact? So the impact rating is going to be gigantic. Okay. The next area, key area, is identifying and understanding acceptable vulnerability windows. Now, first off, a vulnerability window is nothing more than the time period in which the vulnerability is out there. So if we knew that a virus was going to kick off at 12 o'clock at night on Friday, we know that it started at a particular time frame. And if we know we got an update from a manufacturer at 8 o'clock that morning, then we know that our time frame, our window of being vulnerable is this 8-hour window. So now, is this 8-hour window something that's going to be really, really crucial to the organization? Can an organization handle being under attack or being in this vulnerable state for 8 hours? Or would a company accept the 8-hour window? Some people will say, okay, we'll just shut the machines down, and over that 8-hour period of time, while they're waiting for the vendor to come up with some type of filter or fix, then that may be okay. But again, some people don't know. Okay, let's turn the machines off, and then we don't have to worry about what happens when we're in a situation of this particular vulnerability. So again, knowing your vulnerability time frames, understanding how long you were in a particular vulnerable time state, and then from there looking at whether or not that window was classified as acceptable. So again, we take the assets that we know of, we prioritize them. We then look at all of the known risks and threats, and we identify and document those. We prioritize our threats based on the impact level. So again, all of these simply grow on one another, because each one is going to have some type of adverse effect on the other. Then from there, we look at acceptable vulnerability windows. Maybe 10 minutes is okay. In certain industries, 10 minutes is not okay if you have a virus on a particular machine. And then last but not least, I have stay compliant with laws and regulations. In many situations, when you're working for the medical arena, you have a certain set of guidelines that you have to adhere to. So again, working with your compliance department or working with assessors, for security would be, working with both is an ideal thing to do when you know that you are going to start paying more attention to security issues. I know a lot of people are dealing with HIPAA regulations. I know that they're just clearly some governmental security regulations. In many situations, the CEOs and the CIOs of a particular organization, they are at risk of not complying to different regulations. So again, you may be doing this for what you think might be an IT window of security. But again, this could all correlate down to some of the regulations that sit outside of a particular, you know, area outside of technology. In some cases, we have obligations to the public or obligation to our investors. So when it's time to turn around and say, this is the reason why we did X, Y, and Z, you can fully look through this entire system and look at why I did this asset, okay? Why I prioritized all of these items, why I determined, you know, all of, and documented all of my known threats and risks, why I went through the process of determining the impact levels, why did I go through defining what was an acceptable time frame of being vulnerable and what was not. So again, all of that can be your reasons that telling those investors, this is the reason why we had to invest $50,000 for us to implement this new software package. This was the reason why we invested X amount of thousands of dollars to bring in this new system or bring in a consultant or have an assessment, a risk assessment performed. Again, all of these are required in order for us to determine if we are even at risk. We don't have an answer yet. We just have a model. We have a plan on being able to, down the line, say, yeah, I'm at risk. And here are the plans that we're going to take to fix all of this. So again, while I'm pulling the basics from, you know, the risk assessments that are required, we're going to take those actions and take those results, and we're going to take that information and come up with security plans or security policy. We need a plan to make sure that we are secure. At the points that we exercise all of those policies in that plan, then my answer is, no, I am not at risk. Or if I don't, you know, if I'm at risk, then I can determine, let's go and look at X, Y, and Z to determine if I'm at risk. If I'm at risk and I don't have any proactive measures to take or any kind of way to fight it, let's go talk to a vendor. Let's go talk quickly to a consultant. Let's go ahead and take this area that is in, involved with this vulnerability, and let's segment them off from that section of the network. At least you are taking some proactive measures to segment off and protect the area that you feel that is at risk. You need to know the next steps that you need to go through in order to go through that process of securing yourself or segmenting areas of infected, magnification, so that you can get those machines away from the machines that are functional. Okay? So again, having this risk assessment is going to be a way for you to come up with a security plan. So at the point that you went through all of this and you've created all of your policies, you've documented and made sure that everything was up to date, it's time for us to look at what is it going to take to make sure that, one, we can keep this process going. Because make note that this is not a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, where you just do it one time and you store it in a nice little black binder and put it on the shelf. At the point that things change, and things will change, when you consider Moore's Law, when we look at how frequently technology is evolving and how more, you know, circuits are being created to, allow things to process faster, that lets us know that we need to be going through a cycle of updating things because things are going to change. So we need to look at what does it take to convince management that this is an ongoing process. This is not just a responsibility of the IT department. This is a responsibility of everybody. And once we get all of this together, let's look at what do we need to do to train these end users on what actions they need to take. What do we need to do to train application owners and all the people who are responsible for every aspect of a particular system to get them all on the same page so that when something happens, we have some kind of way to escalate. This is the first step. This is what we do next. You need to understand what that process is. So at least if you're asking yourself, are you at risk, you are not chronic while you're trying to determine your answer. You have enough work to be doing so that if you think that you are at risk, here is the policy and here is the plan for us to correctly try and move away from being in that particular situation and try to decrease that time of vulnerability. Again, so, you know, with all that, you're looking at, am I at risk? And once you answer that question, the policies are going to help you determine this is what you do next. It's bad to be in a situation where the technology is there and you don't know how to use it, you know, compared to if it's not there and you're still in a situation where there's nothing for you to use to try and protect yourself. So you don't want to have yourself in that particular window. So again, asking yourself, are you at risk? We always want to answer no, but today's times are not ones where that's always the case. You know, viruses are coming out every day. Exploits are, you know, and new applications are coming out every day. So there's nothing that we can do to the fact that, you know, we purchased this piece of software, we purchased this hardware, and we now need to do updates. We need to have that policy and plan that says, when I purchase this new product and install it on this machine, don't have that machine on your network. Follow these steps right here, and then that helps you, you know, to be less likely to be in a critical situation that you may not know how to get out of. Okay, so I hope that you enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box below. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for LaDonna Evans Dewhart. If there is a show that you would like me to do personally, please send an email to me and let me know. I'd like to thank you for your time today, and remember to tune into GoGo Radio, found exclusively at gogo.com. Have a great day.